and welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on season 4, episode 8, The Earth Girls Are Easy. Just before we get into this week's episode, we touch on a lot of subjects around pregnancy and abortion and women's rights. So if you don't fancy listening to anything about that this week, I would skip on over this week or head back to another previous episode that you love. Hopefully there's lots to choose from.
Hi.
I resent that statement.
Yeah, it's not a good name, is it?
It's so weird as well, because it's just like one random sentence that some weirdo says. It's not even like a key line in the show. Weird choice, guys. Weird choice.
They're getting to the end. They're struggling.
This was during the writer's strike as well, so maybe that's why we couldn't think of a better name.
Okay, if you are a new listener to this podcast, we are I've Never Seen the OC. I'm Jane, and I have seen the OC. And over there we have
Heather, and I have never seen the OC. Yep. So this is my first time watching this very interesting episode.
Yeah, so we basically rewatch episodes of the OC. Heather watching it through new eyes and me rewatching it. And yeah, we just chat about it, what's aged well, what hasn't. And yeah.
Heavy on the what happened this week.
Yeah,
so. No, this was a... I'm finding this really funny because our listeners told us for season 4, or told me for season 4, because obviously Jane already knows that this series is a little wacky, a little wild, a little bumpy. Yeah. And then for the first, like, what, 4 episodes, I was like, lads, you're wrong. This is great. Like, I'm loving this. And then last week, we had the Christmas cut episode where they go into the alternative universe. And then this week we have this wild Hogmanay. That is New Year's Eve for all you non-Scottish people. Yeah, this wild Hogmanay adventure.
Yeah, to say the least.
Do you have any other business you'd like to attend to before we jump in?
No housekeeping this week, but let's just go for it.
Last time on the OC.
Yeah, so Billet thinks Julie is his GF.
Yes, and Julie is accidentally running a brothel with the money that he gave her and Kirsten to run their dating service.
Yes, she's joined forces with Billet's son Spencer, and they are running a, let's call it a high class escort service.
Yes, they're not putting up the adverts in the phone booths like you sometimes see. They're classy.
They're classy like that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, we get a little flashback to obviously Summer's been kicked out of Brown. And the clip that they show us is Seth offering to put off going to the Rhode Island School of Design. Not said that in a few weeks. And then he has chat with Sandy later on that says it's 9 months until we go to college. Does he mean that he's deferred?
Yeah, I think that's what they've decided. He's just going to wait so they can start at the same time.
Yeah, I didn't pick that up in the last episode. But yeah, okay, thank you for clarifying.
And then we had Chris McCaw. If you want to go back and listen to that episode, I would thoroughly recommend it because it's a really wild. It's a wild ride.
I enjoyed it.
It's got some iffy reviews, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
So the gist of it: Ryan and Taylor fell off a roof, landed in a parallel universe, came back again, and now they seem to be in a good place.
Yeah, they are now GF and BF.
Yeah. All's well, it ends well, even if it takes a parallel universe to get there. But yeah.
Precisely. We open up this episode with Seth washing the windscreen of the car. They're clearly in some kind of like gas station in the middle of nowhere, desert
service stop
vibe. We get a mention that they're going to Vegas for New Year's Eve and that the girls are acting weird.
Yes.
We then cut to a scene which I imagine is going to be terribly familiar for a lot of our female listeners. Two girls in the toilet cubicle trying to pee in a stick.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got Summer and Taylor taking a pregnancy test. And at this point, it's not clear.
It's not clear. They're freaking out. There's like a countdown, like a traditional New Year's Eve countdown. And they're like, 13 seconds, 5 seconds, 2 seconds. Yeah. And they're freaking out. And then we have a literal, like, rewind to 7 hours earlier. They've been using this a lot this series.
Yeah. They're quite a fan of the jumping back in time, aren't they?
Yeah,
although
they are.
This one doesn't last that long, but we jump back 7 hours earlier and we are in the comic store having the last coffee of 2006.
What were you doing in 2006?
In 2006, I was second year uni. Yeah. Just going out a lot. Yeah.
Just partying.
Yeah, partying, going to uni. Part-time job, yeah, still working in Next, working in tax office. Yeah, life was good.
Busy, very busy. Did you take a year out? Did you do a gap year or something? Did you?
No, I did a part-time year. That's how we ended up catching up.
I was going to say, because I'm sure I was in first year in 2000.
Yeah.
So I was fresh-faced at uni. Yeah,
a little fresher.
Summer at Brown equivalent, except no interest in saving the environment, only interested in boys and booze. So nothing like Summer. Yeah, little Heather. She would have been 17. Oh, little baby Heather.
I would have been at uni and I would have still, my brother would still have been at school. So he would have been getting the episodes of the OC from the school librarian, which she burned onto a CD for me.
Is she still smuggling you episodes at this point?
Yep, what a woman.
That's so funny. Shout out. What's her name?
Karen.
Shout out Karen. Oh, funny. Right. Ryan has organised a surprise trip for him and Taylor to go to Vegas for New Year's Eve. Cute. Good boyfriend. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Into it. We then cut to Taylor and Summer. And Summer is just not her usual self.
Yeah, she's quite distracted, isn't she?
Concentrating. Yeah. And they have this conversation, which is like, couples who have commas together stay together. They flip-flop back and forth quite a lot between the comic book store with Ryan and Seth and the girls. I don't even know where they are.
I think they seem to be at the outdoor mall place. So they must be in the same place. Yeah.
So Ryan's worried Taylor's going to think that Vegas is cheesy. Do you remember that when you first start going out with someone and you're just worried about everything?
Everything, yeah.
Every minute detail. And then you get to a point where you're like, so I've paid for us to go to Vegas because I really want to go to Vegas and now you're coming.
You're coming, so yeah. So Taylor, on the other hand, has gone for the sexy lingerie approach. So she has bought Ryan sexy lingerie, obviously, just for her to wear for him. But she's very worried that he's going to think that she is a kinky, sex-starved divorcee.
Yep. And Summer gives her wise word, or is it Summer or Seth, one of them? I mean, they're practically the same person by this point.
Yeah.
Says the very wise words, be careful. People go to Vegas and come back.
Oh, yeah,
married.
I think it's Seth, yeah.
That would have been a much better storyline.
But Seth and Summer's like, yeah, Seth hasn't planned anything. Probably going to be Korean cinema, manga, MySpace, a nice little naughty reference. Just as they're about to sort of say their goodbyes, Ryan approaches. And this is where Taylor gives him his gift.
Yes. And it's very funny because he's very much like, oh, are these for me?
Yeah, I've already got these.
it's cute. I think as well, like, as a woman, buying sexy undies to showcase for a man, which is perfectly within your right to do, sexual empowerment, you do you. My only advice would be, you need to look in the mirror and know that you look damn hot in it. You're not doing it for him, you're doing it for you. That's my key takeaway from this. But I thought this was really cute, and I think they're both really fun and really open with it. And
yeah,
It's not like she's doing it to try and like lure him in. It feels quite mutual.
Yeah, it's not
a
really.
A mutual appreciation for the sexy pants.
Yep. And then we cut to Summer and Seth at the comic book store. And instead of sexy underwear, Seth has bought Summer a Jamaican Me Crazy t-shirt.
Literally the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Totally didn't get it either. Just pulled it out of thin air.
It's weird. But yeah, Seth isn't hitting it anymore. I've been going out for a couple of years and he needs a bit of a kick up the arse to be worried about things and concerned about things and making an effort. Yeah, Summer kind of storms off, saying the words, "I'm done babysitting you. I'm done." And we've talked about this a lot. Seth is an adult baby.
Yeah, yes. He's a man child. But yep, cut to the opening credits. Back to our nice cheery ones this week after last week's weird
creepy
ones.
Yeah.
And we're at the Roberts residence and Taylor is packing. And it's when she's packing, she's sort of putting away all her toiletries, that she finds a box of tampons, realises they're unopened, then consults her little paper diary. I felt very seen here. I also still keep a paper diary. And yeah, she realises that, well, we realise that she thinks that she is late.
That's definitely what I thought the insinuation from this scene was. Yeah,
that's how they set it up, isn't it?
Over at, what's their sexy business called?
New Match, maybe?
New Match?
Yeah, like Newport Match, is that right? Yeah, I think so.
New Match, but, let's just call it that. Let's say it with confidence. We're rebranded, guys. This is what you're called now.
Yeah, we should, we should have a better link. Like, meanwhile, Julie's running a male prostitution ring.
Yeah, that's factually correct.
Yeah.
She's on the phone to Spencer, who, at least we forget, is Bullet's son. And they're discussing the expenses of running a male prostitution ring. This is where we kind of see this guy sitting behind Spencer, kind of like eavesdropping and kind of like clearly figuring out what they're talking about. Julie outrightly asks him about money laundering because she's like, I can't keep putting this all through his expenses.
Yeah.
Where is it? Like, how do I tell them where all this money is coming from? She doesn't know how to balance the books, all that sort of stuff.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? I've just written down, like, holy shit, come on. Anytime something starts going well for Julie, she's just, getting a bit of money laundering. Why not?
The gal can't get a break, man.
Also, if she's looking to do that, who she should be phoning? Jimmy, he can give her some advice.
Oh, Jimmy would be able to help her out, wouldn't he? Although he's off grid at the moment.
Yeah, no reception on the boat party.
No signal. But Kirsten comes through to Julie to pass on that message from Jimmy that he has no signal and won't be able to call Caitlin at midnight. Julie kind of goes into this little aside being like, oh, I feel really sorry for Caitlin. Like, she clearly really misses him. I know she kind of gives off this strong exterior, but she does really miss her dad. Kirsten, very rightly, when she sees Julie kind of struggling with the books, she's flapping a bit, she looks a bit stressed, and she's like, look, why don't I help with the bookkeeping? Julie's like, no, I need to learn. What if you get run over by a bus? And Kirsten's a bit like, oh, cool, so what can I do? And she's like, maybe you could just go get some coffee.
Yeah.
Like, is there anything more demeaning you can say to your business partner? There's nothing for you to do. Can you go and get me a coffee?
Yeah, it's very sort of vibes of, do you remember when Julie was trying to sort of take over the Newport group previously when she was with Caleb.
Yeah,
but Kirsten obviously realises that all is not well. And then enters Bullet to invite Julie to his New Year's Eve party, start 2007 with a bang.
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 I love, do you know that joke does work every
time? Yeah, it does.
It's great. He very rightly asks her what time do you want me to send a limo over. Can't imagine getting a limo sent for you to go for a party.
I know.
Rich people, hey?
Nice.
And Bullet here offers someone to help Julie with the bookkeeping because that's her excuse for not being able to come, is she's too busy with that. But she very adamantly is like, she'll try and make it to the party, but she needs to do this work first.
Well, I mean, Heather, how would you feel if you'd put all of that money into a business and all you got was two lousy dinner dates and zero hanky-panky?
I feel like we really need to look at the terms and conditions of that agreement.
Yeah. Bullet seems to think he's got a different arrangement going on, doesn't he?
But
this is where he also picks up on the huge pizza bill, because it looks like the guys have been posing as like pizza delivery guys, so they've got so much pizza expenses, and he's like, oh, you girls eat a lot of pizza. It's just Julie manages to fob him off.
I'm surprised there wasn't another dig at Kirsten and her not.
I know. But yeah, Julie says she'll try and make the party and he sort of goes off. And then we're back to our favourite, the Cone Kitchen.
Yes, and Sandy is making sandwiches for Ryan's cooler for the drive to Vegas.
Yeah.
These guys are meant to be rich. Why wouldn't they just buy some sandwiches?
Yeah. Who knows?
Weird.
They're keeping it real with the peanut butter sandwiches. And Sandy is going to have to go to work on Hugmoney because one of the homeless guys from Thanksgiving has been, well, has attacked a parking meter. So he's going to help him out. And Seth's also sort of confiding in Sandy, looking for a wee bit of advice because Summer is absolutely raging that there's no New Year's plans. And Sandy sort of gives him the advice, look, doesn't need to be a grand gesture, but just make it personal. What could be more personal than hijacking Ryan and Taylor's trip? Which is exactly what he does.
How livid would you be? If I was Summer, raging. I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
If I was Ryan, I'd be raging.
Yeah. Mm. Seth keeps kind of going back to this idea that, like, they go to college in 9 months, like, this is their last opportunity to not be stressed and not have plans and not be, like, constantly in the go. I mean, you're going to be a student. It's not like you're signing up to work in, like, a call center. Like, you're going to be a student. You still will have no plans and nothing to do.
Yeah. You can pick and choose if you go to your classes.
Exactly. Weird. I feel a lot of people always come back to the writer strike round about this point and kind of that's why it's a bit more loosey-goosey because, you know, there was no writers available who have worked in the show before, who've got that kind of continuity jokes. but it's just really telling because you're just like, there's just some weird things they say that you're like, what? Why? Eh?
Yeah. But then we cut to, right, Julie Cooper Incognito is like my favourite Julie Cooper.
Oh my God, I love her. My ultimate favourite is when she was on the phone to Luke and she had like a flat cap on.
Yeah.
And she had glasses and she had like her wee flip phone. Aww. That's my favourite Julie Incognito outfit.
She's always got great sunglasses. But yeah, she's in a car and Spencer joins her. And it turns out that Spencer has lost his little black book with details of their male prostitution ring in it.
Of course he has.
Yeah. So Julie's a bit like, right, this is not what I signed up for. It's getting a bit dodgy. We really need to shut it down. And Spencer's like, look, we're both skint. We both need the money. Tonight we can make 40K each in one night. Like, what on earth? Like, how good are these services?
Right. How many dates do you think they have? Let's figure this out. So 40 grand divided by... 20 dates?
It's 80, because it's 40k each.
Oh my God, so it is?
Yeah.
Okay, right, let me get a calculator. 80 divided by how many dates feasibly could they have on New Year's Eve?
I would say 40 at a push.
Let's say 40.
I'm trying to think of how many guys, remember when he turned up at the office and he had all the men behind him, like we all want to sign up. I'm trying to think.
So... 80,000.
Yeah, but that's
divided by. Yeah.
That's what they're going to make out it. That's without before they even. That must be after they pay.
After they escorts. Paid everybody. Right, that's wild. So if they've got £80,000 each, 40 clients, that's going to be £2,000 per client. So realistically, with paying the guys as well, it's probably going to be £3,000 a day, £4,000 a day.
Wowza.
I would stick to Tinder if I was those ladies.
Yeah.
Get on Bumble. You'll be fine.
But yeah, there's a lot of money to be made. And he's like, right, we do this for one more night and then tomorrow we burn it all. But realistically, if you can make 40 grand that easy, get away with it. Do you think Julie's going to be like happy to give it up?
Don't know. She has some very interesting, I don't know, just vibes on... Because remember, she loved the strippers on her hen do to Caleb. Loved the male strippers. Loved it. Was so into it. But like later on, she says a line where she's like, I'm not a whore. It's like, you can't. She has very mixed opinions on sex work. And I find it quite jarring.
Yeah, it's almost as if she's questioning the morality of it. But she's totally happy to. Yeah, it's quite contrasting views. Within herself, I think.
Hmm. Anyway, Gordon's meeting a lad called Frank, who is the same guy who was spying on Julie and Spencer. He has very good hair. That's all I can say about Frank. Very good hair.
Good looking older guy.
Yeah. Clearly, they are good friends, old friends, long time
friends. Old acquaintances, yeah.
Yeah. And Bullitt's very much like, if you ever needed a job... And he's like, oh, well, actually, I've already been looking at one of your businesses. And he's like, oh, of course you have. That's so you, Frank.
Yeah, what you
typical,
like.
Typical classic Frank. And he's interested in the dating service. And obviously, because he's just overheard, that it's actually a male prostitution ring.
Yep.
And he asks, like, oh, is Julie legit? And it's this whole kind of conversation of, like, Julie is too proud to let anyone help her with that business.
Yeah, our problem is pride, not thievery.
Yeah, and he's very much like, I would love to help out, but realistically, they need to wait for Julie to ask for help, is the premise of the storyline.
Yes.
Who is Frank? That's my question. And he nicked Spencer's little black book.
Yeah, he has the black book. Do you know, it's so good every episode, because every time something new comes up or a new character comes in, I'm like, tick, that's another thing I've not spoiled. So yeah.
Well, clearly I was very interested, because I literally wrote it down. Who is Frank?
Who is this guy?
Do you remember there used to be a thing in the UK, maybe it was just Scotland, that was like
the
talk
drugs,
to Frank?
Yeah, about the drugs. Drug stuff, yeah.
Weird. So it was weird. Like this thing, it was heavily leaned on us at school, which was like, got any questions about drugs? Call Frank. And there was like a number you would call and you would talk to somebody.
Yeah, weird. Talk to Frank. Yeah. But yeah, first appearance of Pancakes this episode.
Pancakes, woo!
We love Pancakes.
Love Pancakes.
But Summer and Pancakes are sitting, chilling in our room. And then, oh, I hate this. I think we've talked about this before. Taylor comes in and the first thing Summer says to her is, not Taylor, are you okay? Taylor. She says, Taylor, you look terrible. Why? Why do folk do that? Just rude. Don't comment on people's appearance, especially if they do look terrible. You know,
and if they do look terrible, as you said, just ask them if they're all right.
How are you doing? Yeah. Anyway, Taylor has a secret that she wants to share, but she needs Summer to keep it. And just when we're ready to think she's going to say she's pregnant, she turns around to Summer and says, I think you might be pregnant. Taylor's nuts. Like, this is another piece of evidence
nuts.
To add to the Taylor is mental. But Summer quickly hits back with, I'm not pregnant, I'm late.
Not the same thing.
That, yeah, definitely not the same thing. But Taylor, her skills of stalking deduction, has come to the conclusion that when she went to visit Summer at Brown, Summer was on her period. And then she has it's also a bit weird. Then she finds a full box of tampons. So therefore, rethinks, right, she might just be another box of tampons.
Yeah, maybe she just threw out the other box. Yeah. Maybe she's got a secret supply and a little makeup bag in her handbag, like we all do.
Yeah, but anyway.
I'm actually more of a moon cup gal.
Oh, really?
Would thoroughly recommend if you've not flirted with a moon cup. It's sorry, boys, but women bleed from their vaginas every month. We have to deal with it. So should you. Moon cups are bloody brilliant, really good for the environment, good for your body. Would recommend investigating if you have not before.
Okay, I'll continue this conversation.
We'll take this
later. Yeah, take it outside. But Summer makes a point that she's not taking the pill because she doesn't want to mess with her body. Latex smells funny.
Two exceptionally valid points.
Yeah,
but the pill is wild, and
yeah,
I feel
nuts.
Like not enough people know. If you're interested, we won't ramp on about it too much, but if you're interested, you should definitely investigate the side effects that the pill can have. Especially, I found it really interesting with all the conversations about the vaccine, and so many people have been like, oh, you can get blood clots. Oh, the percentages, like, the percentage for getting a blood clot with the vaccine is something like, and don't quote me on this, but it's like 0.003%.
Yeah.
Whereas getting blood clots while you're on certain contraception pills is like 0.33%. And you're like, all right, so women can have to take these pills all the time and risk blood clots. But as soon as it's something men have to take as well, everyone's like, oh no, that's too unsafe. You can't take that.
Yeah.
Sorry, too.
Sounds like there's a race course outside your house.
Two men with no tops on little, like, motorbike things just drove past our house. It's September. Why don't you
taps
have a top
off.
On? Weird. Oofed. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I would on that note recommend a book, a very interesting book, How the Pill Changes Everything by Sarah E. Hill, and it's based on lots of studies that have been carried out on the pill, and it's terrifying. So Summer makes a valid point. But Taylor then whips out a pregnancy test.
I don't understand why she doesn't. When Taylor whips out this pregnancy test, I don't understand why Summer isn't just like, I would be like, fuck it, let's just do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get it done. Definitely. Let me get an answer.
solidarity. But just as she comes in, Seth then comes into the room and totally steals Ryan's surprise. He's like, oh, Summer, you're going to Vegas. Oh, and by the way, Taylor, you are too. As if like Taylor's an afterthought, as if it's been his, which I'm like, oh, that'd have been Ryan sitting outside in the car. Surely Ryan should have come up and been like, Taylor, I planned this for you. Yeah. Anyway, just about raging at Seth.
Yeah. Although raging at Ryan for not being like, Seth, you stay in the car, I'll go.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's just, it's stupid. It's not the way you would go about this. But anyhow, Summer's basically doing everything in her power to avoid taking this test. She's like, yeah, let's pack. And then Taylor's like, okay, fine. Well, we'll just take, I'll pack this toothpaste. She's got this little brown paper bag with a test in it. And yeah, they're on a road trip to Vegas with a wee killer's cover, some Smile Like You Mean It.
Ugh, and a classic road trips.
Such a classic.
That album is actually just spectacular. God. The more I think about it.
That's what I was doing in 2006. Listening to that album like so much.
Just listening to the Killers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find it really interesting that I think about my experience as a teenager being at uni, that period of my life. I cannot believe there has only been two teenage pregnancy storylines in this show. Like, maybe that says a lot about me and my friends, but maybe like
says a lot about the rest of Scotland. Time. Yeah. But speaking
if
of which,
if this was based in Glasgow, it'd be every other week.
Yeah. Although, see, when they were doing the pregnancy test, do you know what is even more like? I think now as a 34-year-old woman, which has given me more anxiety than pregnancy tests. Lat flow tests.
Oh, lat flow tests.
Yeah.
The one.
Yeah. Full transparency to our listeners. I'm living with the Rona.
She's got the Rona.
Yeah, I've got the Rona. My husband had it. I managed to escape it for a week while living under the same roof. And then on like his second last day of isolation, I've got it. I'm fine, but yeah, having that double line coming up, I was like, no.
Oh, man.
Awful.
No, not the one. It's just...
So yeah, lat flows are the new pregnancy tests.
Yes. We're in the car and Seth apologises to Ryan for crashing their plans.
Yeah.
I don't even want to get into how annoyed I would be, but anyway.
No, what's more annoying is the line he follows up with, I will buy you the best room that Sandy Cohen's money could buy. And I'm like, oh, you're just such a little brat. I can't think of anything to do for my girlfriend, so I'm just going to get my dad to fund a trip to Vegas.
Yeah, and surely if you were Summer, you'd be like, surely the second best room, because we
want the best room.
No, he's just not, he's not really, he's not glowing in this episode.
Yeah, so Taylor and Summer are sort of sitting in the back, trying to furtively chat about what's going on. She's like, you need to tell Seth, and then it turns out Seth's forgotten his toothbrush. Taylor's already banging on about how it's toothpaste in this brown paper bag, which then leads Seth to take the bag, looks at what's inside, shits himself, and Taylor's like, it's mine.
Yeah, like a good friend should.
Yeah,
like a good friend should. Over to Caitlin Cooper, who's wearing a scarf.
Oh my god,
100% owned.
I have this written down.
Yeah, 100% had this. It's like a black scarf, black and white scarf with skulls on it. And
scarves were such a thing, weren't they?
It was such a thing. Yeah, that with you know, like the homemade bangles that all the multicolored bits on it.
Yep. But
multicolored beads, that was it.
Claire's accessories. Yeah. Billet has bought a dress for Jilly. And Caitlin's just a bit, I really like the Caitlin and Billet stuff. I think it's really sweet and it's quite funny.
It's really sweet.
Again, Billet just being his usual inappropriate self. He's bought a dress. Caitlin's like, you really like her? And he's like, yep, when I was away, I didn't even try to peek under one burqa. And you're just like, oh, good for you, Billet. He then asks Caitlin to also come to the New Year party, where he says that he's going to introduce her to two Saudi princes. She gets excited thinking it's William and Harry, but no.
Just at the end of the conversation, she's like, ignore her. And he's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, my advice to you would be, you need to ignore her. Like, she says she doesn't want any help. Ignore her. Get somebody in to help with the bookkeeping. And then to thank you, he gives her some money for a dress.
Or a lollipop.
Or a lollipop. Because the two cost the same price.
Yeah. And then he goes and calls Frank. And now all I'm going to be able to think about is that 90s marketing campaign.
Call Frank. Do you know that this is so regional? And I'm sorry if you don't know what we're talking about. There was also a smoking ad in Scotland when we were young.
Stinks,
and there was a line in it. I'm sure we've talked about this in the podcast before, but there's a line in it that's like, "Eh, this is bogging."
Yeah.
And it is ingrained in my brain so hard.
Yep. This.
Ew, this tastes boggin'.
And do you remember the Three Girls as well? It was a girl band. Were they called Stinks?
Oh, and it was like the Sugar Babes, yeah. But not
the Why Do You Keep On Running Boy?
Yep. You can probably find these on YouTube, actually. Try Blue Stick Smoking Ad Scotland for the This Tastes Boggin' one. And then, what do you reckon the other one would be?
I think it's
Girl Band Scottish Smoking Ad.
Yeah, I think they were called Stinks, and it was Why Do You Keep On Running Boy? And it's like, can't run so fast, got a pain in my chest.
You should Google it. This is what we were brought up on, and it really explains a lot.
If we find it, we'll share it on the socials. That could be some good content for next week.
Very niche content, but hopefully you'll like it.
Love it.
Summer is finally going to take the test at the gas station, which, sure, okay, I can think of more comfortable places to do that. Ryan asks if Taylor's okay, and starts talking about the fact that he wants their first time together to be special, and maybe tonight's not the night because, you know, Seth and Summer are going to be there, blah, 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 blah. And Seth overhears this conversation. So when Summer then goes to the bathroom, Seth is a bit like, are you sure this is definitely your first time? Like,
yeah, I do love it though how the penny is, I thought at this point, oh, the penny's dropping for Seth. He's realising that it's Summer, but he's like totally not. He's just thinking that.
No, he goes down the whole other road.
Yeah, that Taylor's been cheating on Ryan. So those two are in the toilet doing the test. When an alien, a woman dressed as an alien in a really cool car, steals her bag that has a test in it.
Yeah, because this is where the story kind of meets with where we started at
the very start of the episode.
They're both freaking out and they're like, oh, I can't look. And then they chuck it in the bag. And then this wee alien lady's hand creeps in under the door and steals their handbag and runs off.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, we've got Frank is at Newmatch. And Julie's a bit like, what's going on? And Frank is there to put their books in order and to get Julie out of that pilgrim outfit and into a ball gown.
Yes. And if Frank is done by midnight, he's to come to the party.
Yeah. So Julie looks horrified, but there's not much else she can do. That's when we've got the alien has stole the bag and they're now in a car chase through the night to try and get it back.
Should Ryan be involved in a car chase? I feel this is probably not going to be very good for his mental health. This is going to bring back some real PTSD that he probably doesn't need right now.
Yep. But they're making up this daft story about Taylor having medication in the purse, and Ryan just is kind of losing the rag because he's like, everyone is behaving really weirdly. No one's telling me what's going on. And then they seem to arrive at a weird New Year's alien Comic-Con convention type party.
Yeah. It looks quite fun though.
Yeah, it does.
It's like a big party rave in the middle of the desert. It looks like Area 51. I think they allude to that later. Yeah. And everyone's dressed up as aliens. Sounds smashing.
Yeah.
I'll go there for New Year.
And then we cut to Billet's Bash, and it's just full of young guys with older women. And Julie's just like, oh my god, like Kirsten is totally going
to this party.
Yeah. Why are they all here?
I love that you noticed that. I was like, oh, everyone's very coupley and touchy at this party. I am Kirsten. Yeah. I'm walking in going, God, everyone's real randy this new year. Julie also looks $1 million. Like, she looks
amazing.
So good. She always looks great, but particularly in this scene.
Basically, she is not really, she's wanting to kind of find out about Frank. She's questioning Spencer, and he's like, there's some gaps in his background. I just know, like, my dad trusts him. And Julie's like, look, can we bribe him? And then we also see Caitlin being introduced to the Saudi princes by Billet.
Yep. I really like this wee aside story. It's quite funny.
Yeah, it's cute.
Anyway, back in the desert. I've written down this party looks class, just reinstating that
looks
fact.
Awesome.
Ryan comes up to Taylor and is like, I know. And basically alludes to the fact that he's like, I know that you were sleeping with someone else before we started dating. And she's like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you going on about? And then they end up having this massive argument. And he's like, look, I'm not angry. We weren't exclusive, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, and why would you want to be with a divorcee whore? And then kind of like storms off. And yeah. I find, like, we love Taylor. I now love Taylor. I got on the bandwagon. But I just find this flip-flopping on her character so confusing. Because, like, before she got with Ryan, she was this strong, like, especially when it came to, like, sex and her sexuality, yeah. she was a strong, knowledgeable, confident woman, which was a bit weird, but
yeah.
we'll brush over that for now. Whereas now she's, like, this really anxious, stressed, worried girl who all she cares about is what Ryan thinks of her.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I just don't believe that the Taylor that we were led to believe before she started going out with yeah. Ryan, if he had called her a whore, she'd be like, fuck off, what?
Yeah.
I don't care about your don't opinion care. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
You know,
it's very conflicting, isn't it? And you'll, again, it's, we've talked about it before, it's like they're almost trying to write her as if she's this woman in her 40s
yeah.
who has all this, and it's almost as if she's sort of displaying these anxieties as though she is someone who is older and trying to start again. And not that there's anything wrong with that or that there's anything that you should, but, you know, it's almost as if things that we've seen written before, like, oh, who would want me with all this baggage yeah. when in reality she's, what, 18, 19 years old?
18, 19, slamming bod, looks great. Sure, she's got a divorced French husband, but that's just a cool backstory.
Yeah. yeah.
It's almost like they started writing this really strong, empowered, sexual female character and then shat it,
yeah.
completely bottled it.
Yep.
And that's what I feel like this is. They got her to a certain point and then went, oh no, this is too much.
Yeah.
It's never too much.
It's never strong, too much.
Sexual, independent, fierce empowered women are yep. never too much.
But yeah, they have a fight. She storms off. I also love as well, it's like, she's just so, not even inappropriately dressed for the party, but she's wearing like, it's a nice, she's just wearing this like camel trench coat, which is nice, but it's just...
she looks like a spy.
Yeah, it's just weird. But yeah, we're back to the party and it is very awkies. Kirsten's just a bit like, what is going on here? Frank arrives and we find out that he is Frank Perry. Julie is shitting herself, but Frank basically says to Julie and Kirsty, oh no, everything looks good, your book's add up, business is booming. And then I totally love this. You can visibly see Julie just sort of like exhale and she's like, Kiki, do you ever feel invincible? And then just like stalks off. And you're like, oh, the brass neck of it, honestly.
I love her. We should all be more Julie Cooper.
Yeah. But yeah. Summon and Seth are at the alien convention. They're, and Seth sort of confronts Summer about what's happened, but what he thinks happened, i.e. that Taylor is pregnant with a child that isn't Ryan's. And at this point, Summer doesn't correct him. And then, oh, this is just, it's so cringe. It's like the absolute worst. Seth is just standing there and he raises his hand. And he is basically hoping for Summer to high-five him to celebrate that they are not in this position. And Summer's just like, what the fuck? And
yeah, understandably
he,
so.
Yeah. He then realizes his error. And she sort of storms off. And then I really like the next bit. That a guy recognizes Seth from Comic-Con last year. He is a big fan of Atomic County and he is dressed as Kid Chino. So he's essentially dressed as Ryan.
If only he knew Kid Chino was at the party, yeah. not wearing a choker.
Yeah. And I think if this had been any other moment, Seth would have been indulging this so much. He would have been like in his element.
Do you think it's here that he realizes that it's Summer that's pregnant, not Taylor?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's where the penny sort of dropped. Yeah. Eventually. Yeah.
But he sees the alien and is trying to run off to try and find her. Right, back at Bullet's party, Frank comes up to Julie and says, I didn't want to embarrass you in front of your partner, but this isn't what Bullet thought he was investing his money in, is it?
Yeah.
And she very outrightly is like, what do I have to do to keep you quiet? And he's like, sweet, 522 at the Four Seasons in half an hour.
Yeah, I've also written down, please tell me I didn't imagine this line because I thought it was so weird. that he says to Julie, "Wipe your lips, your mouth looks dry." Please tell me I didn't
make
this.
I do remember that, but I don't remember at what point it was. But
it was
yeah,
like at
really
the point where he's sort of confronting her, and I was like, that's so creepy and weird.
Oh, weird thing to say.
But yeah, we've got, he's wanting to meet her at the Four Seasons. And then Sandy arrives, and Kirsten's like, this is weird. And he's like, look, we'll have a dance, it'll be fine. And then, right, I think Peter Gallagher's acting here is just spot on, because he literally, when he sees Frank, he looks like he's seen a ghost.
Yeah.
It's just, he's so, yeah, so convincing.
Yeah. And what we're kind of led to understand is that Sandy just recognises him, yeah. And he's doing that thing. I'm really bad for this, because I'm really bad for remembering people's names and faces out of context. But you can tell, like, you can see the cogs trying to click in to be like, where do I know this guy from? And he says, doesn't he? He's like, I definitely know him.
Yeah.
But they try and go for a dance because they're like, oh, it's clearly not a big deal. And then Julie has to leave because obviously she needs to get over to the Four Seasons in half an hour.
Yep.
And Caitlin comes over and asks, like, what the deal is, what she's doing. And basically, Julie is leaving her daughter on her own for New Year.
At a party full of adults and escorts.
Right? But surely she could have said to Frank, like, oh, my daughter's here. Can we do it later? Or can we do it tomorrow? Or whatever it is. Like, weird. Not very good mum. Not very good mumming from Julie there.
No. Poor parenting. But yeah, she basically says, look, mum, what are you up to? Bullet really likes you. And she's like, it's not what you think. Just trust me. Don't tell Bullet. Caitlin's like, okay, and then she sort of ends their little exchange with, I miss dad. No wonder, hen, if that's how your mum's behaving.
I know. At the alien party, Taylor is drunk and she's dancing with a very hench man.
Still wearing like the trench alien. Coat.
Yeah, still wearing it, but it's kind of like half on and half off. And she says, if you think I'm a whore, I'm going to act like a whore. Sure.
Yeah, and then... is it Seth asks Summer, like, why is my girlfriend taking a pregnancy test? Or no, is this where
it's Ryan.
Ryan says
yeah,
to Summer,
Ryan says that.
And Summer basically confesses. And yeah, they're like, look, we need to try and figure this out before the bells. And Summer and Taylor take off in the car. Great plan.
Seems like a bit of an overreaction, doesn't it?
Yeah. We then cut to Seth and Ryan trying to call a cab. And Seth's obviously trying to sort of process the information that Summer might be pregnant, at which moment they see the alien with the bag that contains the pregnancy test.
Yeah. Isn't it so funny that we spend so much of our teenage years and early 20s, maybe even into late 20s, feeding that even thinking about unprotected sex, you will immediately be pregnant and your life will be ruined.
Yep.
Like, that, I just remember that being such a palpable fear through all of my early sex life.
Yeah.
And then you get to a point in your life where, like, almost all of my friends, almost all of them actually, have struggled to conceive.
Yeah.
You're just like, it's so wild, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like you spend the first, like, I feel you spend your teens and 20s terrified you're going to get pregnant, and then you spend your late 20s, early 30s terrified that you're not going to be able to get pregnant.
Exactly.
It's mad.
It's just so weird. And obviously, women do not need to have children to feel fulfilled in their lives. But if that is a journey you're contemplating or thinking about going down, it does, like, it lays quite heavy, doesn't it? That you're like,
definitely.
God, whatever.
Definitely.
It's just wild.
Anyway. But yeah, Summer and Taylor are driving and discussing the whole situation. And Summer's like, how did I get here? And she's basically thinking, got into this really prestigious university, found her groove, sort of found out who she is, and now she's chucked out of uni and worried that she's pregnant at the age of 18. And Taylor tries to reassure her.
With a boyfriend who forgets his toothbrush.
Yeah, with a boyfriend who forgets his toothbrush.
We all forget our toothbrush, Summer. Don't be that guy.
Was that not I'm going back into really weird references. Was that not like a Channel 4 show in the 90s, like a travel show, Don't Forget Your Toothbrush?
I don't know.
I need to Google this as well.
I think that was before my time, I'm afraid.
It just, you know, that way it just... this is going to drive me mad. Don't Forget Your Toothbrush, 1994, two seasons. yeah, a light entertainment TV program.
Sure.
Oh, it's a competition to win a holiday. So it was like a... Presented by Chris Evans.
Interesting. Oh, I love Chris Evans.
Yeah, sorry. Total tangent there, but...
No, that's okay. Taylor's really good in this moment, though.
Yeah, she is.
She's like, look, it's a new year. We all get a fresh start. Like, we can be whoever we want to be, and everything negative can be left in last year. And I find it really... I am not big on New Year. Like, I just... It's not my favorite night of the year.
Nah, know? Mine neither. So it was a late
time. It's not my jam. Exactly. I always feel there's really high expectations for it, and then it's always a bit of a disappointment. But I do like this idea of once a year being able to be like, new year, new me. I'm into it. Yeah. I like it.
Heather and I are like nutcases that like to clean our entire houses on New Year's Eve.
Oh, you have
because
to.
Our parents have, we've got mums that have sort of... Was it New Year's
Eve?
You
can't bring in a... You came round. You came round to pick up the recording equipment? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I've just been cleaning my carpet.
Do you remember that? Yeah. Do you remember your Christmas tree as well?
Oh, my God. Yeah, my Christmas tree was shedding like there was no tomorrow. Yeah. You can't bring in the new year with a messy house. You have to clean
your
house.
Yeah, it's nice. Open the windows, let the new year in.
Exactly. I also feel we should probably at some point just touch on the rules in America, or the laws changing in America about abortion, and how if you believe that, you know, it's a woman's body, it's a woman's choice, it's a woman's right to choose, get online, get signing some petitions, try and be as active in that movement as possible, because what if Summer wanted an abortion? What if she did want to go back to Brown?
Exactly. Taylor gives her some good advice, and they think, right, we've been a wee bit hasty, we should probably go back and find the boys. At this point, we find out that we see that the alien's pulled, and she is getting on in a room with, I don't really know, someone will probably be able to tell us what the reference, what the guy's dressed up as, but some other big Comic-Con alien-esque guy, and Seth and Ryan are sort of creeping up behind them, see the bag, and Seth is furtively trying to sneak in to take the bag. Cue Summer calling Seth, and the phone rings, alerts the aliens, and they basically have to grab the bag and make a run for it.
Yeah, and very conveniently, Seth's super fan from earlier is outside, randomly just leaving anyway.
Getaway car.
He can give them an emergency evacuation. How handy.
Awesome. So, they jump in the car, and then we briefly go back to Orange County, where Sandy is trying to figure out the Thrank connection, and Kirsten sort of gives him a list of possible places he could have come from, and the last thing she says is prison, which seems to sort of a little light bulb moment for Sandy, and he goes off to do his research.
Yes. In the superfans van, Ryan makes a really, really good point to Seth, who's understandably freaking out about the prospect of Summer being pregnant. But Ryan just reminds them, like, as scared as you are, Summer's 10 times more scared, and just comes back to that very brief interlude we had there, that it's not nothing to do with the men, but, like, it has so little to do with, pregnancy has so little to do with the van. That it's like, oh, you're scared, you're worried about being a parent, or you're worried about like what decision that's going to be. That is so minuscule compared to what the woman in that situation will be feeling and experiencing and worrying about. And I think it's really important. And I'm glad they kept that line in.
Definitely. Definitely. Wise words from Ryan. Mm-hmm. Yep. So Caitlin finds Bullet on his lonesome. She finds the Saudi princess boring, and she has to say that Julie's gone home, and she says, oh, she had a migraine. And then this is really cute. Caitlin's like, oh, what was that dance you were telling me about again? And he's like, oh, the Texas two-step. And he's like, yeah. And then they go dancing together, and oh gosh, again, how naughty is Kirsten's, Caitlin's outfit. She's got on like the footless tights and the little long dress with the belt, and
it's super cute. I just thought that was really lovely. Although I find like daddy issues, which is clearly what this is insinuating, it's just a really easy trope for writers to do. Like, oh, her dad's left, so obviously she's going to be like damaged by it and then just be looking on to any older man to like latch on to.
Even earlier when Julie left, like even just sliding in that, I miss Dad. It just felt out of context, you know?
Yeah. And it was a lovely moment. And like, I love that he calls her Peanut. And like,
yeah, it's cute.
I think it's important to have positive male role models and relationships in your life, but not everybody who doesn't have a male father figure in their life desperately wants or needs that.
No, totally. Totally. So we're back at the Roberts residence. They've all arrived home and Taylor's in bed and Ryan turns up. And Taylor's like under the covers and she's like, if you're here for sex, there's like five guys ahead of you. And she's just kind of laying the whore chat on heavy. And then she's like, what's it? She says like, I'm not a whore. And then she's like, unless you want me to be. And she like whips up the blanket. Yeah.
And she's wearing these like black sexies. And he's like, hey, I thought they were mine. And it's just, it's quite funny and it's quite nice.
Cute.
And there's a lot of problematic language being used, particularly with young people's availability to porn and using words like, oh, like, I'm not a whore unless you want me to be, and like calling people. And loads of people are into that. And if that's what you're into, that's what you're into. But it does raise the conversation of young people learning about sex through porn and how that kind of warps. Warps, but deeply influences their understanding of what sexual relationships could be.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that line just really made me think about that, but I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Totally. So then we cut to another nice summer and pancake shop, and Seth enters and he has the bag.
He's got the goods.
Yep, and he apologises and Summer's like, so am I pregnant? And he's like, look, I didn't look. And then he gives her this really ugly ring that he's got off one of the aliens in the van. And he proposes. Was this a surprise, Heather? Were you shocked?
Yes, I was shocked. But I feel I need to tread carefully because you and Stephen have been together for a very, very, very long time. But I feel people that get together that young and get married, I'm just like, I have such warning bells in my head being like, you're so young.
Yeah.
You have so much of your life still to live. You're just figuring out who you are. Like people who get together young and stay together.
Yeah.
I have absolutely no qualms with that, but that pressure and that lifetime commitment of teenagers, like they are teenagers.
No, I can't imagine. Like Stephen and I got together when I was 22 and before
so
then
not that young.
But it's like can I imagine marrying my high school boyfriend from like being 17? Like, and not again, but I fully I totally see where you're coming from.
Yeah, like I think of who I was at 19 and who I was at 29 compared to who I am at 32. And I'm like, especially like, it's just, I don't like it. And I don't like that kind of narrative of, oh, you find your one true love and then you get married. And I'm just like, that's not.
Although, I do think it seems to work for some people. But I think the relationships that I saw that it has worked for them are people that have sort of gone off and done their own thing, like had sort of separate lives, but you know, I can't imagine Stephen and I being in the same friendship group and stuff. Like I can't imagine that from 17 until now.
Yeah, you
know what I mean?
You
need to have your own things.
You need to have your own experiences. Like even like them, if Seth postponing going to uni so they can go together, it's just like
you're that's
just
problematic.
Entwining your lives together. Like, and don't get me wrong, it's lovely. As a human who has intertwined their life with another human being, it's lovely. Yeah. And like I'm getting married, you are married. Like, I have no problem with people getting married, but putting into a teen show
yeah,
19, 18, 19 year olds getting engaged because they're so like in love and like it's destiny and they're meant to be together. I'm just like, nah, man, nah. That's not real. That's not real life.
When you were younger, like my parents were very much like, oh, I mean, you're too young for anything serious and don't get tied down and stuff. Yeah, and you'd just 100%. Be like, why are they being like this? Like, I'm so in love. And then you're like, oh my God, you can totally see why they're being like that. You know,
yeah.
You would totally give the same advice to your own kids.
No, 100%. And I just like, relationships happen and end for a reason. Like, I'm a firm believer that things happen for a reason. And like the guy who I was with before Ali, I thought he was like the one. I thought like we were going to be together forever. And it was just really awkward because you know him.
Oh, God, him? God, no. Yeah, oh my God,
I know.
No.
But like at the time, I was just so besotted and I thought that was it. But if we hadn't broken up, A, I would never have met Ali. But B, I would never have got into the job that I'm in. Yeah. I would never have moved to London. I would not have met loads of my best friends. You know, like it's just like, yeah, it's just
the universe works in mysterious ways.
Exactly. Life is too short to have only had sex with one person. I'm just putting it out there.
But yeah, so Summer and Seth are engaged, and he makes the point he makes the point that he wants, because she's like, do you not want to wait until after the test? And he's like, no, because which is quite nice, I guess. Again, maybe a wee bit idealistic, that he doesn't want her to feel that he only proposed to her because she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. They then look at the test and she's not pregnant and they're both just a bit like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. And you can tell that they're both like, that it's just fear. They're both shitting it because they've now agreed to get married. When is that actually? And even if it was positive, like, she didn't have to keep the baby. Oh, there's just, I find this storyline bullshit on so many levels.
Yeah, it's as if they've basically only got one. The fact that he proposed sort of suggested that, right, she's pregnant, she has to have the baby. Yeah, and it's just, and it's also like, well, I mean, what, it's 2007?
Yeah.
Why can't they have a baby and not be married? Like, why, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's
why
not,
can't she
why is this?
Have a termination? Why can't he support her without having, like, you can be in a loving, committed, supported relationship without being married?
Yeah, totally. Anyway, we can discuss this as the episodes progress, but we cut yes. to, it's just all very awkies.
Yep.
We cut to Julie and she's at the Four Seasons. She lets herself into Frank's room where Frank tells her to have a seat and Julie's like, look, Frank, maybe I'm Adam, but I'm not a whore. I wonder how many times whore's been said in this episode. We should have kept a tally. but yeah, she's like, I'm not a whore. And we then flash to Sandy, who's doing his detective work. And Frank is like, I'm not who I say I am. And then we see Sandy going through all his documents. And we can see that he's had various DUIs, domestic abuse charges, and then Frank is, in fact, not Frank Perry, he's Frank Atwood.
Frank Atwood.
Yeah,
he's right. And he wants Julie to, that's what will keep him quiet, as he wants information on the Coens because he's Ryan's dad.
Yep, but Sandy and Julie sort of get the info at the same time, so Sandy's ahead of the game.
Yeah, they both know this situation. So yeah, I find that way more shocking than the wedding dun, dun, dun. Engagement story.
Yeah, line. Quite a lot packed into one episode with only eight left. We're halfway there.
Halfway through, baby. Right, let's not do what's going to happen next because I have no idea.
Yeah, but over that, it's too close to the end.
Do you want me to sing the song since it's your listener this week?
Yep, okay, go for it.
Da 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 da, listener of the week. Da 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 da.
Oft, that was like a deluxe version, Heather. Good.
I realised as I got into it, it was a bit too deep for my squeaky little tones.
Love it. But this week, our listener of the week goes to the lovely Ellie Beveridge. Ellie got in touch via our Insta DMs, and she says, "Hello, I'm so happy that I have finally caught up in your podcast. Been listening in Manchester for months now, but I've not had to rewatch along because I've watched every episode of the OC about 20 times, except from season 4. One of her biggest frustrations is that she's such a geek of all things TV, and she seems to know lots of weird and wonderful facts about the OC pop culture, and she often finds herself saying, 'actually,' in her head when we are like talking about them, which is brilliant. She basically says that she's really enjoying listening to us, would love to hear us do a Sex and the City podcast, because although she loves it, it's fucking ridiculous and has aged terribly. She also has a bone to pick with us.
Uh-oh.
Calling Julie a good mum, laughing crying emoji. We love her, but she has many things that she's never been a good mum. That's her main beef, though. Agree with all her love, other opinions, and thanks for everything." Which is funny.
I can't even remember when we called her a good mum.
It's funny because today you actually said, like, not good mum behaviour. So, yeah, we're back on. I said sometimes her love for Julie just totally clouds her judgment.
It's true.
She also has, after Ellie had said she got some good facts, I was like, please slide into her DMs at any point. Now, this is an interesting one I think you'll like. Misha Barton got her lower back tattoo in real life without consulting the OC staff.
Of course she did. What a babe.
So they had to write it in that she got one with Alex. So that's why it reappeared in the bikini scene. It's real. Also, she talks a wee bit about, we mentioned Facebook getting popular in the Che Dobbing Summer In episode. Mm-hmm. Facebook, as we know it, is named for the common practice in the US college of taking a headshot of all students and putting them together in the Facebook. It did exist in 2006 when this was filmed, as it initially was rolled out to universities, US and international, but it didn't come, as we currently know it, until late September 2006, when season 4 of the OC was already airing. So Facebook, they're referring to it as probably the college Facebook. Have you seen The Social Network?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah,
I
so it's all
say,
like that. Yeah.
Has Zuckerberg actually just, he's just messaging us, calling himself Ellie?
Maybe. But yeah, thank you to Ellie. Some really nice trivia. Glad you're enjoying. And yeah, definitely well-deserved listener of the week.
A very good addition to Listener of the Week.
Yeah, definitely.
If you would like to get in touch with us at Never Seen the OC on Instagram, you can rate and review us on Spotify. You can leave reviews on Apple, all that jazz. Get in touch.
Yeah.
But I guess until next time.
Yeah. See you next week.
Bye.